Victory Life Family Church. If you're new or newer, we welcome you. And our website is vlfc.church. There you can find out more about us. All past sermons, all notes, video and audio are there. So you can just take your phone. You could listen to it driving down the road. Also, Pastor Rodney's new devotional, Light in the Darkness, is on the website. Yes, that is awesome. I've been reading it every day. It's not long, and it's broken up into bite-sized pieces. And then there's a confession, and then there's an application and a reflection and an acting part. And it's so good. It's also on our Victory Life Family Facebook page every day, posted to that each day. But I've been reading it off of the website, and I am just so excited about this devotional. It's such a blessing. So thank you, Pastor Rodney. Praise God. And so, as you can see, we did go ahead and get some coffee in this morning. I know Pastor spoke about that a little bit. There's snacks for afterwards. So thank you. Someone brought those. And so we just want you to enjoy yourself. And so we're bringing in some of these things that we like to enjoy here. So come early to church. Doors open at 9. There's pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. And then service starts at 10 on Sundays. Right now, we're not having Wednesday nights as we're getting everything set up here. And like I said, believe to paint this week and just get things going. Thankfully, we've had nice weather, so that hasn't hindered any of our traveling. So praise God for that. We're having Friday prayer at our house from 9 to 10. And so that's been such a blessing to pray over the community, over you all, over prayer requests and needs. And it's just an awesome time to grow together in the Lord and pray together with one another. And so we've really enjoyed that. We start at 9, we end at 10, and then you can go on about your day. We don't hold you back. So we thank you for that. Also, volunteers. We currently have openings for greeters and ushers, video production. If you're interested in that, our worship team, praise God. We're excited about that, to get that going. And so if God has put something on your heart, calling you to do something, there's something in you that says, I would like to do this. Come see us, talk to us, and we'll see, because he fits us in the body as it pleases him. But I know I'm talking kind of fast. I didn't want to take too much time today, but you know, in serving, we're blessed. In serving, we get to know one another, and it's fulfilling. And we talk about it all the time, but you find your call in serving. You find what God's, you know, when you step forward and do something unto the Lord, it opens doors in your own life and in the lives of each other, and it connects us together. And so I love coming together with our family here on Sunday mornings and anytime we can get together, because we are a family. We love you all. We pray for you every day. It's such an honor to be here. And I also want to let you ladies know, our next women's meeting is on Valentine's Day. Yes, we might call it Galentine's Day. We'll see. But it's February 14th from 10 to 12. And we'll have, the plan is right now to have a brunch here, you know, be encouraged with one another in the Lord. And again, 10 to 12. If any of you ladies are interested in serving or helping in that time, let me know. And I plan to have a flyer next week. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up so you can mark it on your calendar. And that's still plenty of time to go on a date if you have a date, or if, you know, we can be your date, right? To come here, I mean, to be together. So no matter what, you have something you can do on Valentine's Day. Praise God. And with all of that, it's offering time. And like I said, I won't take a long time. There's two scripture passages this morning. If you want to turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, and Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So Malachi 3, 10 through 12, Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. And I'm talking about tithing this morning. And I could, you know, I just want to say, the word of God is first place and final authority. We can trust what the word says. And the things that he shows us to do is for our benefit. He's not trying to withhold things from us. And so when I read Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, it says, bring all the tithes, and tithe is the tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your frown, neither shall your vine drop its fruit for the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So praise God. So he's saying, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And so as we bring our tithes, it's the functionality of the church and getting the gospel out and those things for what we're doing for him. But there's a promise. He says he'll rebuke the devourer in our life. The devourer won't destroy the fruit of our ground. Neither shall our vine drop its fruit before the time in the field. He also says in the verse above it, he will open the windows of heaven for us and pour out blessings that we don't even have room to receive. So when we do what he shows us to do, then we get what he tells us we're going to get. And I can testify for that. My mom, I say this every time, raised us to tithe. We just knew that's what we're supposed to do, right? But as I became a young adult and made my own decisions, and just it was so instilled in me that no matter what, and when I was single, paycheck to paycheck, I lived, really. And I just knew to tithe. I wouldn't have it any other way. And you know, there was always miracles in my finances. It was always like, how did this even happen? Like everything was paid. I had more than enough. And people could look at their bills and say, well, I have these bills, so, you know, I can't afford to tithe this time. But really, we can't afford not to, because he's going to take care of us. He's the creator of this universe. He created each one of you. He's our daddy God. Can he not do it? Is there anything too hard for him? The word says in Jeremiah 32. So the last scripture here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency for righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Overflow. Can we all say overflow?
Overflow.
Praise God. And our motivation for accumulation is distribution. We want to, and we are here at Victory Life Family Church, blessing to others. I want to be blessed enough so that I can bless other people. I see a need, I can help somebody, right? That's us. He's positioning us. So that's how we get there. Praise God. And so let's say our offering confessions together today. The blessing is working in us.
The blessing is working in us.
On us. And for us. The Lord is increasing us.
The Lord is increasing us.
More and more.
More and more.
Us and our children.
Us and our children.
We are getting our buildings.
We are getting our buildings.
Our lands. All our resources.
All our resources.
We call every bill paid.
We call every bill paid.
Every need met.
Every need.
We are furnished in abundance.
We are furnished in abundance.
Angels.
Angels.
Go get our harvest.
Go get our harvest.
And bring it to us.
And bring it to us.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And those who are believing for properties to be sold, we call you sold,
yes,
in the name of Jesus. And that it's a blessing to the buyers. It's a blessing to the sellers in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, today as we come together and we sow our seed and as we tithe our tithes, Father, we thank you. Your word, you are a God who does not lie. I thank you, Father, that your word is truth. And that when we stand on your word, we know we reap those results. And I thank you in the lives of the people that Victory Life Family Church, that we're blessed to be a blessing, that we're blessed to be a blessing everywhere we go. And I thank you for increase in pay. I thank you for raises and bonuses. I thank you that each one here has favor with you and with man everywhere we go. I thank you, Father, this week there's gifts, there's surprises, because you're a good Daddy God, and we're expecting good things from you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You may receive the offering this morning.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula, for that word. Jesus is Lord. You know, I was, we were sitting over there, you were sharing on that, you know, the tithe, you know, and I was reminded of Jesus, the two loaves, I mean, the two loaves and the fishes, right? Jesus has this multitude in front of him that needs to be fed. They're out in the wilderness. You know, and even they said, even if we were to send them to the nearby town, we're going to get all this bread. We're going to get all this food to feed them. And so they had a little boy over here who had his lunch. You know, basically, when you look at that, if it wasn't, you know, these monster fishes, which, you know, little boys are not going to be scared around, you know, these monster fishes and these, you know, sacks of bread, right? This was his lunch. This was this boy's lunch. And so the, so you can see the little boy, he's standing by, he's over here, and so he offers up his lunch, you know? And the disciple looks at this and says, well, what is this among so many? But Jesus looks at that and said, it's enough. When you give God what is not enough, he can multiply it exponentially to make it more than enough. They fed the multitude, and guess what? It says, he told the 12 disciples, go gather up the fragments. Guess what? There was enough for all 12 of them to have a whole satchel full of food. More than enough. Amen. So again, when you give God what is not enough and trust him with it, he says, I can multiply it to make it more than enough. Glory be to God. That's not today's message, but I just thought that was. Amen. That blesses me, you know, because again, you know, Paula, you know, just speaking about her wife, but even, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord at 30 years old, I had done some things in business and what have you, and I was successful and, you know, had some things. You know, I had made money. And then I, you know, gave my life to the Lord, and I was asking, well, Lord, I won't forget about me. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And so he told me what to do. He said, go to work at the ministry. And so I said, okay, that's what I went and applied, and they said no, which made sense to me. It's like, I'm not qualified to do this. And so a few months went by, and I was still doing my thing. I said, Lord, and again, he told me, go apply. So I went and applied again. And this time they called me in for an interview. And so I just sat down, you know, and I was telling them my story about how I came to the Lord, and I just was sold out for Jesus. And, you know, and this is what he told me to do, and I don't have, you know. And so they went ahead and they hired me. You know, and then, you know, I got some training, you know, and that was in 2010. And then I spent the next, you know, however many years now in serving the Lord and in ministry. Praise God. But when I started out, it was an entry level position. It didn't pay very much. And it was a whole lot less than what I had been used to. You know, but I was a tither. I've sown seed. I gave. And guess what? I never missed a meal. My bills got paid. Matter of fact, even some debt that I had got paid off.
Praise God.
Amen. Can you say debt free?
Debt free.
Hallelujah to Jesus. How did that happen? I don't know. The money, how did this come? How did that come? How is it that I had more money left over, you know, right, than I seemed to have before when I was making three times as much? I couldn't put a finger on it necessarily, other than it's the word of God. Mm-hmm. Tither. Amen. I was a tither. I was a sower. And God was always taking what was not enough and somehow made it more than enough. And he has blessed us, and he has blessed us and increased us. And while we were there in Texas, you know, even when we were working in ministry, I mean, the positions, we had some, we were promoted a few times. But even then, you know, it wasn't, you know, this high-level position. And yet the Lord blessed us with some beautiful homes. The place that we came from, I mean, absolutely a gorgeous property. The Lord blessed us so much. How did he do it? Just taking this thing and just seemed to multiply it and increase us, and where others are breaking down and this and that. We didn't have any of that. We didn't have all this stuff that, you know, we didn't have the things that the world was you know, having to deal with, right? Amen. That is the blessing of a tithe. He said that I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. Amen. So again, things that are breaking down in the body, breaking down in the car, breaking down in the home, you know, these things is not eating our money. These things is not taken away from us. I think back to the children of in the wilderness, you know, when they came out of Egypt, they were blessed with silver and gold and garments and clothing. And for 40 years, none of it wore out. That was just cheap. Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't go down to Walmart, you know, or over to JCPenney or Dillard's or wherever and say, you know what, we got the money. We're going to get some new clothes. They didn't need new clothes. Their clothes just stayed and blessed, you know. Praise God. Thank you. So again, tithers' rights is such an awesome thing to be a partaker in that. But we're going to be sharing here today on the subject of faith. Over to God. As if we've been sharing here these last few months on the subject of faith. And then specifically, we were dealing in the area of confession, the words of our mouth. Amen. So you're either going to be snared or you're going to be blessed by the words of your mouth. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, he says, we're going to give an account. Amen. We're going to stand before the Lord. He says the books are going to be opened. You're going to give an account for every word. Yes, every blessing word, whatever, every word of God that you spoke. He says, and you're going to give an account for every yet evil word that you spoke. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, he says, you're going to give an account for every idle word you spoke. So again, when you should have been speaking blessing, if you were just speaking idly, That's not okay either. You have been given the word that I might know it, that I might homologio, that is, agree with it and say what God says. We're supposed to be speaking the word of God and the blessing day and night into every situation. That this is how God establishes his will and his covenant in the earth, is through our voice. Hallelujah to Jesus. So here we're going to open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into today's message. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, to break bread, to share the word of God. And Lord, as this word is coming forth, I'm asking you right now, and we're in agreement for utterance. Lord, yes, I have notes. I've studied to show myself approved. But Lord, and this is not Rodney up here speaking. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, breaking bread with his family today. And so while we receive that every day, every time we gather together, it is a time of a holy visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. You said where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. So Lord, we are asking you for your word to be revealed to each and every one of us, exactly what each one of us needs. Lord, we receive Holy Spirit. You are here to lead us and guide us unto all truth. And we thank you for making that a truth and a revelation knowledge unto us today. And if you agree with that, say amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, hard copy or soft copy or whatever you have, let's hold it up big together. Amen. This is my Bible, the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. And I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, here in our notes, again, here in the room, I believe everyone has their copy of the pastor's notes. They're online. You can get them on our website, vlfc.church/sermons. The notes, the audio, the video, it's all there. Stream it, download it, share it with friends. We'll preach it. Amen. But our foundation text for today is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. Interesting. There's no gray area about that. It's impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. All right. He says, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean those who will just pray to God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, please, please, please. That's not the idea. This comes back to what we've been sharing on these last weeks. This is where I take God at his word. I believe, God, you are God. I believe if you said it, that's what you intend to do, and you're big enough to back every jot, every tittle of it, right?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, none of this is ever going to pass away. He says, basically, the dot on every I, the cross on every T, every single bit of it is going to come to pass exactly the way God said. Amen. Yes. So he says, God, he says he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Hear what I have to say. Incline your ear to it. Believe God and now walk by faith in light on it. This is what pleases God. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The title of today's message is The Integrity of God's Word. And this is, when we're talking about faith, this is the foundation of it all. Number one, if we have to believe that God is, yeah, right? And we have to believe that if he said it, he's going to do it. That's what he intends, all right? Yeah. So the God kind of faith is the very faith by which every believer is called to live, to walk, yes, to pray, to speak, amen, every word, we've got to speak his word, and by this we overcome. Again, Revelation 12:11 says, and they, the believers, overcame how? Number one, by the blood of the Lamb, the finished works of Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony. We got to see it. Yes, I see what you have done. I see you provided salvation, so I believe it in my heart. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now you're saved. That's just the beginning. Amen. I see in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. Well, if I was healed, I am healed. Now, body, I can see that there's this and that, and I can feel this and that, but I consider not. I consider the word of God, and I exalt the word high and far above this body.
Amen.
And all these other circumstances, I know that this is going on, but I'm not giving this place. I give the word of God first place and final authority. If God said it, that settles. And if I hold fast to my confession of faith, he said there's great recompense of reward. Hold fast,
yeah.
Hold fast, hold fast. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is the faith that pleases God. It's the faith that receives from God and the faith that brings heaven's realities into our earthly circumstances. We're supposed to be walking and living in days of heaven on earth. It's supposed to be that way. Jesus walked and lived in days of heaven on earth. When he came preaching, what was he preaching? The kingdom is now here. Not the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is now here. And what did he do? He went about teaching, preaching, healing in that order. Always in that order. He would always teach, and now, which is just to explain the basic principles, the foundation. And now he's going to teach on inspired preaching, right? And out of that, faith is being formed in those who heard it, and now they're able to receive their healing. They're able to receive their miracles. Again, Jesus said it over and over and over and over, according to your faith, be it done unto you. He had to teach and preach it so they had something to believe, so they could stand out and receive. You know, the two blind men came to him. This is early on in his ministry. You could read about that. You know, and they come into the house where he was, you know, and they said, we want to be healed, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jesus said, do you have faith to receive this? They said, yes. He said, well, receive your son. They had to have faith. You know, the four men who tore up, so Jesus was in the house preaching. He's in Capernaum. This was at his own house. They came to Jesus' house, and he's teaching inside. They couldn't get near, so these four boys, they take their friend or relative. They get up on the roof. They tear a hole in the roof, and they let their friend down. All five of them had to have some serious faith. And they had said, you don't just go and tear up Jesus' roof, amen, and let this friend out unless you know what Jesus is going to do. It's that they all said, if we can just get to the master, we know what's going to happen. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is fully persuaded faith. They heard it. They believed it. And guess what? They had great recompense of reward. That man walked out of there completely well. According to his faith, he received. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The integrity of God's word is first in our lives. I mean, it has to be in order for faith to operate. Before faith can ever be exercised, it has to be anchored. It has to be anchored in number one, we know who God is. I know that he is absolutely faithful. I know his word can do anything but faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So again, we're going to be really identifying these two things today. Number one, God's word is truth. It's truth. Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth, which really translates eternal living reality. Before anything was, there was eternal living reality. This is the best way we could find really to try to describe the word of God. It just was. Before anything, during all things, through eternity, it is eternal living reality. Therefore, it is called truth. Now, there's a whole lot of things that, you know, obviously in today's society, well, you know, truth is relative. Your truth, my truth, you know, you can have your own set of beliefs and that can be truth. And you can have your set of beliefs and that can be truth. That's just a lie. There it is, but truth. It is the word of God. So it's a good idea if we just go ahead and agree, God, I don't have to understand, again, all the quantum mechanics and physics behind how all of this is possible and how can you take some little loaves and fishes and feed them all. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe if you said it, that the word is big enough to take care of itself. It's big enough to bring itself to pass. So God's word, number one, God's word, it's truth. But then also, again, our lives, number two, the word of God must be first place. I can't be over here, well, I know the word says I'm healed, but I know God says he meets all of my needs, but I just don't see how that could ever happen. Well, the word James, which is the half-brother of Jesus, he wrote the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 5, James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He can't expect. So you can have faith in this to receive nothing. I can't consider, well, I know God said, but. I know this, but. Get the but out of the way, right? I believe God. We see this with what the scripture calls the father of faith, Abraham. And you see it in Genesis, but you see it over in Romans chapter 4. He says, he considered not his own body dead. So Abraham's 99 years old. Sarah is, you know, I believe 90 years old. She has been barren her whole life. She was never able to conceive children. And the scripture says, obviously, she's well past the age of childbearing, right? We all understand that. And yet, God says, you're going to have a son through her. And she hears it. Abraham says, grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. He considered not his body being dead. He considered not her body being dead. But he said, I believe if God said it, he's able to perform. And guess what? According to his faith, he had Isaac, the son of blessing. And then he went on to have other children beyond it. According to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we want to unpack a couple of things here. Number one is know the integrity of God's word. So let's take a look at this in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Selah, think on that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to unpack this a few phrases here. Number one, in the beginning. So John sets this up. This phrase is, it repeats the opening of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. And then it establishes this connection between Jesus, the incarnate word of God, with the God of creation. He's letting you know they're one and the same. This is one and the same. And then we go down in that chapter, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, right? this is to signify the pre-existence of the Word, which indicates that the Word was present before the creation of the world. Before all of creation happened, there was the Word of God. We see this also in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that God saw through time. So really, again, in our own natural thinking, we think of everything has a birthday and an end date. Not so with God. God exists outside of time in eternity. He created time really for this purpose of man, of establishing his eternal family. God in eternity, the best way that I can try to wrap my mind around this is God, it's a circular thing. Mm-hmm. God, he is omnipresent. And once it's, he exists and he occupies all space. He occupies all time as we know it. But for him, time is really a circular thing. There is no beginning. There is no end to God. Mm-hmm. Again, I have pondered this, and I come to the point where it's like it kind of hurts. There's only so much I can really seem to comprehend or take in where that's concerned. But it's like there is no beginning. There is no end. So today is the same as yesterday, as is 1,000 years from now. It's because God occupies all of that time. He sees perfectly all the way through time, right? Amen. So again, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says that God saw you. He chose you who would choose him. He says, I saw you from before the foundations of the earth. I knew you were going to say yes to me. I knew you were going to receive Jesus as Lord and become the sons of God. He says, so I've chose you and I've blessed you. He saw this before. But again, that moment in time is just the same as this moment in time to him. God sees and knows all things, and he occupies all of it perfectly. This is really what this word was. This word was is the word "I-me." It means to be, to exist, to happen, or to be present. Now, reading this in the English, in the beginning was. And again, every time we see the word was in English always means past tense, not so in the Greek. This is a very unique word. It does not mean past tense. It means always in the present tense. So really, in the beginning is the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word is God. He is in the beginning. And so it goes through letting you know he was, he is, and he always will be is really what this term signifies, amen, that there is no beginning, there is no end to him. Was the Word, again, emphasizes the eternal nature of the Word, revealing that the Word is not a created being, but has always existed and will always exist. Thank you, Lord. What the Word was with God, this phrase indicates a distinct yet an intimate relationship between the Word of God. This preposition with suggest a face-to-face relationship, implying both distinction between the Father and the Son, yet there is perfect unity. Again, so we talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These are three distinct persons of the Godhead, but they are always in perfect unity and harmony among them. Hallelujah. The Word was God. This is a declaration that affirms the full divinity of the Word. It's a clear statement of the Word's divine nature, asserting that the Word is not a lesser deity, or a created being, but fully was and fully is God himself. Hallelujah. So Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. So again, we need to see this word repent. That means that repent needs to have a change of heart, right? So again, if we have, you know, been living according to our flesh, we've got sin in our life, we need to repent. What does that repent mean? It means I turn from this, whatever this was, I put it far from me, and I'm not going to walk a different path. Hopefully, I'm walking with the Lord, right? I'm turning from this, and I'm turning to that. It says God will never repent.
God never repents. He's not going to say, you know what, I want to do this and I intend to do that and I'm getting this done. But you know what? I changed my mind. I don't know if I really want you saved or not. I don't know if I really want you to be healed, but I want you to be healed. He's never going to repent. He's never going to change. If God has said it, it will always be. You can always cash that check at the bank. It's good, right? James chapter 1, verse 17 says, in him, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no change and there's no shadow of him turning. He will never turn, never. If God has said it, if God has intended to do this, it will turn out exactly that way. Hallelujah. So when man disobeyed God and fell from revelation light, fell from the presence of God, and bowed the knee to Satan in the garden, God didn't change his mind about man. If there was ever an opportunity to do it, it was right there. God says, Adam and Eve, you two, take you out. I'm going to create a new man and a new woman. We're going to start over, and you're not going to mess up this time. And if you do, I'm going to start over again. No, God never changes his mind. This is my son. This is my daughter. I have delegated authority. I have blessed you. And even though you have been unfaithful, I remain faithful. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to restore you back. Even better than it was before, because now on this side of the cross, if you and I are to miss it as Adam and Eve are, we're not cut off from the presence of God. We have the blood of Christ that is on the mercy seat in the courts of heaven that speaks of my righteousness. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan of redemption. So that throughout eternity, in the ages and ages and ages to come, the blood of Jesus remains on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
So if I were to miss it at any point a billion years from now, the blood still speaks righteous. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah to Jesus. The only way for me to be unrighteous is for Jesus to be unrighteous. And that ain't going to happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. So, he is not a man that he should lie, nor son a man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Has he not said, and will he not do? Has he not said? Has he not said? If he said it, he will do it. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. If you will agree, so when you agree with God, you say what God says, you become the establishing covenant. These are covenants. He says, when you'll say what I say, you become the establishing covenant witness in the earth. That's all I need. If you will agree and harmonize with the word of God and say what I say, what I told you to say, and speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Don't let anything else ever come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. If you will do that, it will turn out exactly that way. It cannot be any other way. Have I not said it, and will I not do it? Yes, I will. That's why I wrote it in the book, so you would believe it, so that it would come out of your mouth, so that I could fulfill it. That's how I get my will and my covenant established in the earth. It's always going to be through a man. It's going to have to come through a man's mouth at some point. It has to. That's how it's always been. That's how it worked in the garden with Adam. And that's how it worked all the way through the Old Testament. That's exactly what Jesus modeled. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. And he had 100% results. It didn't work because he's Jesus. It worked because it's the word of God. He says it's the Father dwelling within. He does his works. Again, Jesus always pointed back to the Father, back to the Father. He didn't point. He said this didn't work. He never said this works because I'm Son of God. Never. He came as Son of Man, emptied himself of deity. He says this works because it's God's word. The disciples went out two by two, the 70 of them. The exact same thing happened for them. It worked all the way through in the New Testament. This is just how it works. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're just Amen. Coming to know this truth so that we can walk and receive it. It says, will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Say, yes, he will. Every time. Thank you, Jesus. So the foundation of faith in God is established on the integrity of his word. God is not a man that he should lie. Again, I don't have to figure out how could I have a terminal illness and all of a sudden be perfectly well?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that people are raised from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to understand it, but I do have to believe God that somehow you're able to get this done. He never said faith works by figuring out all of that stuff. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. Real Bible faith is when I don't understand it, when I cannot comprehend in the natural, and yet I choose to believe God. So again, Abraham, 99 years old, she's 90, she's been barren her whole life, she's past the age. I don't have to figure out how could this possibly be. I just have to take God at his word, and he got his miracle. He got his breakthrough, and we're talking about him today, 3,000 years later. That's something. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We must know that God's word is who and what it declares itself to be. Hebrews 6:13 is coming back to this promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, so he swears an oath, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. He gave Abraham a word. That word produced faith in the heart of Abraham. He believed God, and he held fast to that promise, and he got it. He got it. But again, God swears an oath by himself. He swears, he says, there's no one greater. So again, on earth, men, especially in this time, would cut covenant with one another. They would swear oaths with one another. So God comes to them on that, Abraham, on that same basis, said, there's nobody on, so I'm going to swear by myself. The word's going to swear by the word. I want you to let you know that there's no one that can break this covenant, because this is not, in this sense, there's no one that's going to break this, there's nothing that's going to keep me from fulfilling my end of it, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to do my part. So I can't swear by anything greater, so I'm going to swear by what's equal. Myself. This is really an interesting thing to see. It's the word swears by the words, and let Abraham know, I want to let you know, I know it's impossible for you, but oh, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. Believe it, I can do this thing. So again, thank you. Let's see more about that. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So again, when the Old Testament, when God wants to get his word in the earth so that he can do something, he went to a prophet. Mm-hmm. He got in that prophet's mouth, the prophet would speak it, God would do it. All right? Mm-hmm. Verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So again, this is, he's saying, my son, we're one and the same. He is the image of me. He's the likeness of me. He's the glory of me. We're one and the same. Me and the Word, we're one and the same. And yet we're a distinct person. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, hear this, upholding all things by the word of his power. So the word created it, all of the universe, all of these things, everything that you see was created by the word of God. He says, but I didn't just create it, I'm maintaining it, I'm sustaining it, I'm upholding it. So right now we have this is the sunny morning outside. The sun's been out there for however long. And where does all that energy come from?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sun is producing how much energy, every second, how much energy is being released. That's just one sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we live in the Milky Way galaxy as we know it, which is full of solar systems and other suns and stars just like this one. And then there's a whole multitude of galaxies, right? As far as we can see, and it's still expanding right now. They know this. It's still expanding every moment. Every moment, it's still expanding. So he's still creating, but then he's still powering this whole thing. Where does all that power come from? His word. His word created it. His word still maintains it. If he can do all of that, surely he could pay your rent. Surely. He created all the gold, all the silver. Surely he can get something to you.
Yeah.
He's the one that gave life in the first place. Surely he can heal your body.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Anyway, can these dry bones live? God, you know. They've been dead 10 years. A whole army. They were dead 10 years. He says they're out in the desert, a dry place, and there's nothing but bones,
mm-hmm.
right? Can these dry bones live? So, but notice what God did. He didn't just raise them up. He said, no, prophet, you speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I tell you to say. God in that prophet's mouth, the prophet spoke the word of God, and the word of God recreated those folks. They raised up, and they all went back home.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Dead 10 years. There's bleached bones. There's no skin. There's nothing. They're not just a little bit dead. They've been long gone dead. The word of God has all the power it needs to bring itself to pass. What is your headache upside of the power of love? Hallelujah to Jesus. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is truth. It is true. So whatever you need, it's good for the teaching of doctrine. It's good for reproof or correction. It's good for instruction. It's good. Whatever it is, it's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Every scripture, now understand this. Every scripture is written and we have an imprint today, so that every man can read it for himself. And again, when you read your Bible, understand this isn't just God speaking to the cosmos. This is God speaking to me personally. This is God. Every word is, again, Jesus said, jot and tittle, which every a dot on every I, cross on every T, says every bit of it will come to pass. Every bit of it will come to pass. The word is bringing itself to pass continually. The word is upholding itself continually. It cannot be any other way. If God has spoken it, will he not do it?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about the integrity of God's word,
mm-hmm.
which is the foundation of faith itself. If we fail to have integrity in God's word, you cannot have faith. It's impossible. If you come and tell me, if I come and told you, said, you know what? Whatever bills you have this month, I'm going to pay for them. All right? If I told you that, now that promise is only as good as me and my ability to do so. You know, right? Now, if I told you I'd do it, I'd do it. I'm a man of my word. You know, but if someone comes along and you know, maybe they're not a man of their word or a woman of their word, they say, you know what? I'm going to pay everybody's bills in here this month. And you know what? They ain't got two dimes to rub together. And they have a history of just saying some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I can't have any integrity in your word.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the owner of the bank in town were to come in here and say, you know what? everybody's mortgage. We're going to just wipe it out. He has the authority and the power to do so, and you know he does, right? Now we've got some. Now we got something we can believe. Now we got something we can lay up. So again, someone's word is only as good as they are. Who is a God? Is he a man? No, he's not. He is eternal living reality. He is truth. You can take him to the bank every time. But if you show up, oh, I just don't know. No, that's not faith. You don't have integrity in God.
It's good.
You believe, according to what you read something, and you said, I don't know if God's big enough to do it. That's really what you said. Now, you may not have given voice to it, but when you fail to believe and act on and say what God says, what you're really saying is, God, I don't thank you for doing it. Because I can't see how you can do it. Because I can't see how. So again, Thomas' faith will never receive anything from God. Thomas, what did he say? I will only believe when I see. Seeing is not believing. If you're waiting to see with your natural eye until you will believe, there's no faith in it. So what did Jesus tell him? Stop being faithless. You've got to believe and take God at his word. If he said it, that settles it. That's it. I believe God. Thank you, Jesus. Ha ha. The Bible is God, and every word is God breed, God indwelled, and God backed. Again, why? He would not have said it, and he would not have put it in the book unless he wanted you to believe it and say it so that he could do it in your life, do it in your family, do it in your community. Otherwise, we could have just omitted this and omitted that. No, he put it in the book specifically for that purpose. Hebrews 4:12, Amplified Classic. For the word that God speaks. Notice, the word that God speaks, not the word that God thought. God had to speak. But when God speaks, what happens? Two things. Number one, the word that God speaks is alive. It's alive. There's energy. So we taught on this a while back. So this word alive really has to do with electric. So we can use electricity as an example. We're here in this room today. We have electricity, and this there's a power plant that actually goes out to the dam here off Lake Ogallala, which the power turns. I don't know, powers half the state. There's a whole lot of power coming out of that dam here. So again, think of the dam, all of that reservoir and all of that being the energy. It has all the energy we need. Hold fast. So that's alive. And now it says the word that God speaks, it's alive. And that's the other part, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Now, the word that God speaks. So, again, you and I are the same way. Image and likeness. We were created to function. So, again, when we speak God's word, it's alive, but now it becomes active. It's not activated until you speak it. When you speak it, it's like plugging in, you know, a light or whatever appliance into a socket and turning on the switch, like, you know, a coffee pot over here. You plug in the coffee pot, you put on the power button, and it starts making coffee. That is applied power. That is the active part of it. So the power's there, but it's not activated until you make a demand on it. How do I make a demand on it? Father, I see what you have said in your word, and I believe according to the finished works of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 2:24, you said, by his stripes, I was healed. So, Father, I release my faith through words, and I homologio, I agree with you. I'm saying what you said, and body, I declare the name of Jesus by his stripes from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You are healed. From this moment forth, I'm not considering my body. I'm not considering my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings. Yes, they are true. Yes, they are real. Oh, but I consider your word.
Mm-hmm.
I consider first and final authority your word. And if I was healed, then I am healed. And from this moment forward, as of 11:15, January the 11th, 2026, I'm healed.
Yeah.
From this moment forward, I refuse to be sick another day in my life. I don't receive. I'm not receiving a symptom. If something comes, it's a lie. You lying symptom, take your hands off of God's property. Who do you think you are? You are none of mine. Get behind me, Satan. It's written, by his stripes I'm healed.
Yes.
I discovered this 15 years ago. I've been walking in it ever since. Over those 15 years, there have been not many, very, very few times where symptoms would actually try to come and touch this body. But I've been confessing for a whole long time. Number one, the 91st Psalm. But furthermore, if sickness or disease comes near me or if it touches me, it dies in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, our example, he laid hands on leprosy and on all types of sickness and diseases. Guess what? Jesus never got sick. They always got healed.
Amen.
Is it not Christ in me? Is it not Christ the healer in me? Then what business do I have to agree with? Oh, my arthritis. Liar? That's a lie. You just took sides with God. I mean, you just took sides against the word of God. And what you said is, I have faith in this symptom. I have faith in this natural world. I have more faith in the God of this world than I do in God himself. I didn't believe the integrity of God's word. And a lot of times this has been out of ignorance. People have not even understood this concept. And so there's a whole lot of folks, a whole lot of Christians who don't know this. But the word's the word. It works for it works on both sides. We looked at this in the past couple of weeks. It works the same for anybody. So, you know, whether or not you're saved doesn't really change the equation. Yes, you're healed by his stripes, but if I keep agreeing with sickness and disease, I'll never be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just and so again, people have come up with all types of doctrines and teachings to try to explain, well, we just never know what God's gonna do. Yes, he's healed others, but I just don't know about him. Why? They didn't understand how faith works. They didn't understand the integrity of God's word. They know God can heal. No one really has a question about that. They know God can. Everyone can agree. I know God can. I can see how he's raised the dead. I see how he's done all of this. I just don't know how he can do it for me. Well, there's no faith in that. And so they'll pray, and they'll pray, and they'll get groups together. They'll get the church together, and they'll all pray and get nothing. There's no faith. Jesus said it, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So again, faith begins where the will of God is first known. I've got to know it's God's will for me to be healed. Not just that he can, not just that maybe he can heal some selectively. No, it's God's will for me to be healed. Again, the Bible is God speaking to me. If he says, by my stripes you were healed, he didn't say by his stripes some would be healed. He says, no, you were healed. I've got to agree with God. So again, just as Abraham stood and talked with God, and God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. You've got to stand before the word of God and say, you know what? I receive. This is God speaking. This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I receive. I am healed by his stripes. I don't have to figure it all out. I just have to take God at his word and agree with him and consider not any other thing. Amen.
Amen.
It'll work. It'll work. It'll work. It'll work. God's not a man. He shall lie. If he not said it, will he not do it? There's a scripture I want to just, it's not in the notes. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope
without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful, but what's your job? I'm going to hold fast to my confession. What am I confessing? By his stripes I was healed. Oh, I want to thank the Lord. It's so good to be healed. It's so good to be pain-free. It's so good to be delivered in my soul. All of this oppression and depression and all of these things that have been going on in my soul, no more. I receive by the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed clean. I'm redeemed. I've been made the righteousness of God, and I'm holding fast to that confession. You feeling you are ungodly? Get behind me. It's written. It's written. I'm healed. It's written. I'm free. It's written. I am the righteousness of God. The weapon of your confession. Hold fast to it. It will work for you. Amen. It will work for you. Say, it'll work for me.
It'll work for me.
Every time. Praise God. Let us hold fast. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Amen. That great reward, that's the manifestation. That's the manifestation of your breakthrough. That's the manifestation of your healing. That's the manifestation of freedom in your soul, freedom in your finances, whatever that is. Glory to God. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't cast off your confession. Hold fast to it. Don't cast away integrity in God's word. That's your confidence. If God said it, he's going to perform it. I am confident in God's word. I'm confident in his ability to perform it. And we're just going to have to take the rest of these notes next Sunday. But I want to close up here today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The word of God, when spoken, releases the exact same creative power of God that is necessary to bring itself to pass. Hold fast your confession of faith. The word of God is just as real, just as alive, just as active coming out of your mouth as it was in Genesis 1 when God said, light be. It's not me. It's the word. The word will fight its own fight. It's not me to fight the fight. It's the word that will fight the fight. Glory to God. When you look over in Ephesians 6, I know we taught a whole series on it last year. You know, we're talking about the armor of God. Amen. He says above or out in front of all of it, the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Don't get behind me, Satan. It's written. He fires another dart, another feeling. Get behind me. It's written. He says, if you'll keep this shield of faith out in front of you, none of this will ever get to you. Right? He says, but not that's on the defensive side. But now he says, now take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Cut him with it. No, it's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. Now we're not just not. I'm not just taking body blows here. I'm cutting him up. I'm putting the devil on the run. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Again, Hebrews 4:12, the word that God speaks, it's alive and it's full of power, which means to make active, operative, energizing, effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life or the soul and the immortal spirit. So again, we have soul, we have the spirit, and now we have the body. It says of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The word of God, where we will take it as the sword of the spirit, you know, by his stripes I am healed. What are you doing? That word of God is going, he says, down even to the marrow of your bones. You know, this is the deepest part of this, going right down to there. Anything that does not belong, like a surgical scalpel, it's removing it. Now, it's not just removing, it's a two-edged sword. The other part is restored and life to what needs to be. Yes, on one end, I'm going to cut it out, but I'm going to minister life. So maybe you need a new organ. Maybe you need a new heart. Maybe you need a new pancreas. Maybe you need a new eye. Whatever you need, the word of God is alive, it is active, and it has all the power it needs to make it so.
Thank you, Lord.
Hold fast your confession. It has great recompense of reward. So as we close here, the first step to walking in the God kind of faith is for us to settle once and for all the integrity of God's word. Again, if he said it, he said it because he wants you to believe it, because he absolutely will do it. Only believe. Again, Jesus, Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. Now he says, only believe. Only believe. It's not just that I believe it's possible. I choose to only believe God and consider not. Hallelujah to Jesus. Pastor Paul, would you come on up, please? Thank you, Lord. So just hang on to the notes. Look over them this week, and if we bring it back on Sunday, we'll have some fresh copies. But we have my second point, which is the Word of God is to be first place. So again, it's one thing to know that this is the integrity of God's word, but now I have to choose to exalt his word. Amen. So we're going to really unpack that a little bit as we move along in this series.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to remind you, I know, praise God. I want to remind you, we mentioned these last week, but we handed them out the week before. They're Confessions for Victorious Living that we put together. So it's basically, I open this up in the morning. I just, you know, it's speaking the word of God. It's, you know, here's an example. I rise above every difficulty and challenge through the life and wisdom of God that is in me. And you can just say a handful of these. I belong to God and have overcome because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And just speaking these as you first get up, you're setting the stage for your day. And so I don't know if some of you may or may not have one. But we're going to print more copies because we gave out a bunch before. And so I just want to encourage you, get those out every morning. Start your day by speaking the word. That's a great tool. So.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. You have to say it. It doesn't work until you believe it in your heart and speak it out your mouth. Yes. And then it's alive. And now it's active, which that is the word of God going somewhere to happen today. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. I want to just give an opportunity. The word says in Romans Chapter 10, verse 13, for everyone, amen. Are you an everyone? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Praise God. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
I love that. There's just no maybe about it. And then there's a period. Amen. Don't add to, don't take away. If you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. He did all the heavy work. Amen. He shed his blood, and by his blood, he says, you are made the righteousness of God forevermore. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe. That Jesus is your son. And that you sent him.
And that you sent him.
To pay the price. For my sin.
I believe.
That you raised him. From the dead. And I confess Jesus. As my Lord. And my Savior. Jesus. Come into my heart. Take my life. Have your way with
it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We believe according to the scripture, Romans chapter 10, that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. And eternity is in heaven with our Father. Glory to God. But I want to also share this with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, this was the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he says here, I wish or I desire you all speak with tongues. Now, we did a whole series on this last year. Yes, amen. But tongues is for every believer. Tongues is for now. Again, when we go look through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see the nine gifts of the Spirit. Those nine gifts of the Spirit are for public assembly, and in that you see tongues and interpretation. And Paul writes on that, you know, if we're going to give a tongue in public, there ought to be an interpretation. But this is not what he's talking about. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. not as a matter of boasting. He says, but follow me as I follow Christ as an example. This is why I'm telling this shouldn't do. But he goes on to say, this is Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and then in verse 8. And Jesus, he says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, since we've seen the great commission which he gave them to go preach the gospel to the whole world. But he says, now here, don't wait. Wait. Don't just go now and start preaching. I need you to wait right here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because the Holy Spirit's going to endue you with the power to be able to go preach in the power of the Spirit. There's a difference. Now, we see this in Acts chapter 2. So again, you go on and there's 120 gathered in the upper room, which about a month ago, I got to go to Israel for the first time. I got to go in that upper room, y'all. It was awesome. Glory to God. So that upper room was where they had the Last Supper, but it's also where the 120 were gathered together on the day of Pentecost. Same place. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers, and there's, we don't know what, there's 120 of them gathered in that upper room. Hallelujah. Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. They didn't know how to describe it, since they didn't really... We called it tongues of fire. You know, it wasn't burning. So again, we've seen some pictures and there's these little flames of, as of tongues of fire. I don't know how do you explain that? Tongues of fire is how the word that they had to try to interpret what that actually meant, and sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled. Now, some have said that tongues is just for, you know, this public ministry, you know, but Mary was there. Mary wasn't a pastor. She wasn't fivefold ministry. We know she was there. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't just for public preaching and teaching. This wasn't just for tongue and interpretation. We don't see them giving tongues and interpretation at this moment, right? They're all prayed in the Holy Ghost, though. They all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Jesus has some more to say. Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You've got to ask. You have to believe and receive. The 120 were gathered together, believing to receive. 500 were invited. 120 believed and received that day. So, Holy Spirit, the gifts of tongues is for every person. Now, is that there is a difference between your devotional prayer life and public tongue and interpretation. Jude, there's just one chapter in Jude, verse 20 says, you beloved, you build yourself up. He's not writing to fivefold ministers. He's writing to the church. Jude, in half brother of Jesus, he says, you beloved, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul, I wish you all would speak in tongues, right? The whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, there's 40 verses. That whole chapter is devoted to tongues. Every bit of it. And again, there was so much of it going on in the church. Paul wrote them to try to bring some order to it. And then he ends that up at verse 4. He says, now let everything be done decently in order, because they were all flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, and it wasn't orderly, but he came to bring order to it, right? So I want to invite us. Again, you have to ask, you have to believe to receive. Just as you had to receive salvation, you receive everything in the kingdom the exact same. Number one, I believe the tongues is for me. And number two, I'm asking, and Holy Spirit, I'm receiving you in my heavenly prayer language. If you will do that in faith, he will fill your mouth. Now, I want to share something with you. This is not going to come out of your head. It has to come out of your spirit, the born-again spirit of a man. This is not for an unbeliever. Don't get an unbeliever to speak in tongues. It won't be of the Holy Spirit, right? You have to receive Jesus into your heart. Now that you're born again, you qualify to receive the baptism of Holy Spirit with the utterance of speaking in other tongues. But so again, when we ask, he will be there to answer that request. God will always honor his work. He will always, and Jesus said, if you asked, he'll do it. Now here's the other part. He's going to do it, but he's not going to do the speaking for you. You have to open your mouth and by faith give utterance to the syllables, to the words, whatever they are. Now, that may be, and it may come out for you. And so again, sometimes this takes a development. And again, you're having to learn how to hear your spirit and to give voice to it. When you develop in this area, this will help you develop in all areas. This will help you to learn how to hear. So again, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. When I learn to cooperate with Holy Spirit by praying in other tongues, it comes a whole lot easier to discern the voice in my spirit giving me a direction over here and following that out. It all flows together. So again, Jude says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in other tongues. So let's invite Holy Spirit to come and baptize us today. So let's all pray this. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues
as you did
on the day of Pentecost.
Right now.
By faith.
I receive.
And as I open my mouth. I will speak. In my heavenly prayer language. Now, no more English, but as he speak out those words, speak out those syllables. By faith, just open your mouth and you give voice to it. Whatever you hear on the inside of you, Thank you for my heavenly language.
Thank you,
Lord. As you said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I want to encourage you. This is not a one-time event. This is to be every day. Every day. And so Paula and I, we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost a long time. And this isn't just something I do in the mornings. I'm praying in the spirit all the time. Even under my breath, I'm going to the store, I'm going here, I'm going there, just around the house. If I need wisdom or direction, Father, I just thank you right now. I'm praying out this mystery, and I receive this becoming a revelation to me. You can just pray, and you'll find there's different flows. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your spirit, will flow rivers, plural, of living water. There's not just one flow of praying in tongues. I can pray in tongues for Dorothy. I can pray in tongues. You know, the Lord will sometimes bring different ones of y'all up to us in our spirit. We can just be in the day and then somebody will just come up.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on, but I can pray in tongues. And I can direct my tongues by faith. Father, whatever they need right now, and we'll pray, and then there'll come a release. I just know, okay, we prayed that out, whatever that was. You can pray. And so again, he said, also build yourself up. So there's times I just need to be edified. I just, I've been going. I need to recharge here. I can just take it, and it's a different flow. It's a different flow.
And I can just do this for 5, 10, 15 minutes and just be refreshing my spirit. You can't just give out all the time. You have to come and recharge, so to speak. You can't just pour out. You've got to build up.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, just know this. God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.